service is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. What a weekend, huh? Another weekend, a second assassination attempt within 2 months. As you might expect, I have questions. I mean, one of my main questions, and I might as well just ask it now. Mr. Trump's round of golf at his international spot in West Palm Beach wasn't on his public schedule. Wasn't on his public schedule. How did this guy know to be there, set up his rifle and his GoPro camera in advance? We'll get into it. Thank you for tuning into the program, folks. Abraham Hamilton III here. I am the host of the Hamilton Corner, joined by the Corner Contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, and in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J-Mac, ladies and gentlemen. We are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. In fact, let me just share this with you now. We're actually hitting the road for the program this week. J-Mac will be with me. We'll be broadcasting live from Nashville, Tennessee at the HSLDA National Leaders Conference. That is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association National Leaders Conference. We'll be broadcasting live from there this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All righty. So tomorrow will be a travel day. We'll have a guest host tomorrow. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we'll be broadcasting live from Nashville at the HSLDA conference. But today, we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. And it is days like this that once again remind me, and I pray it reminds you as well, why it's so vitally important to make sure your confidence is anchored in eternity, and that eternal anchoring guides and instructs our engagement in the here and now. Because it's just at this state, and I'm going to demonstrate this throughout today's program, okay? It is evident that we have reached American Providence status. It's evident. It's been evident for quite some time, but it's evident. And no one is going to ask this question. Well, some may ask it in certain outlets, but in the main thoroughfare, if you will, of media traffic, they're not going to even ask this question. The golf round was not on Mr. Trump, President Trump's public schedule. How did this guy know to set up his rifle, his GoPro camera hours in advance so he could take a shot? I'm not trying to be conspiratorial. This seems to me to be an obvious and logical question. How did he know? I don't think it's something we should wink at, where a president of the United States with Secret Service detail continually is shot at. Before we get to that, to the Word of God we go. And I'm going to explain to you very well why we get to the Word of God. The unfortunate reality is many of us don't understand that the founders' visions for our nation was a limited national government, the most impactful governmental apparatus on the lives of everyday Americans was supposed to be the government closest to us, the local government. The constitutional Republican form of government really was the brainchild of our founders, having surveyed the history of government up to that time, including the Athenian city-states, including the Roman Republic, including the concept of absolute democracy, including all of these notions. The reality is that the concept of individual liberty flows from the Protestant Reformation the Protestant Reformation notion that individual believers not only have the opportunity or the capacity, but they have a duty to know the Lord for themselves. Not to have to go through an intermediary to come to know the Lord, but the individual ability to know Christ and to navigate Scripture is what gave rise to the concept of individual liberty in a body politic. Search it out. Study it for yourselves. That is an uncontrovertible fact. Much of what has befallen the United States of America, how she has become what she is the byproduct of the refusal to make disciples generationally. The reality is, generation after generation, we have seeded the ground of the cultivation of the heart and the mind to wicked people. We've attempted to develop a modicum of knowledgeableness that denies the knowledge of God, which, by the way, denies Scripture. Because Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fools despise wisdom and knowledge. This is all Bible, folks. The term fool biblically is not merely a pejorative. It's a description of an internal reality. It is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. Our nation has developed from a discipleship rubric that is foolish biblically, an attempt to ascertain knowledge while simultaneously denying the knowledge of the only one who gives knowledge. And if we want to understand, the only way forward for us is through confession, repentance, and disciple making. Acts chapter 4 is where I want to go. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. This is very early in the existence of the New Testament church. The events recorded in chapter 3 of the book of Acts are where the apostles Peter and John were on their way to pray at the hour of prayer, the scripture says, and they encountered a man who had been born lame. And at the juncture, at the time that he encountered Peter and John, he was over 40 years old. And by the power of God, he was healed. And that caused a great uproar in the area. I'm going to just pick up in chapter 4, verse 1, because Peter began proclaiming the gospel in response to the power of God's display, creating an audience for the gospel to be proclaimed. And Peter did so. And then we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Now, why am I presenting this? The scripture bears it out. Peter was the primary speaker in this juncture. John was there speaking as well, proclaiming in Jesus, first of all, claiming that he is the resurrected Messiah, that there's no need to continue to look for a Messiah to come, because Messiah has come. He is Yeshua. All right? The scripture records that the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees. So you had some Pharisees there. You had Sadducees there. You had the captain of the temple. They were greatly annoyed, angered, because the Jewish fisherman Peter and the Jewish apostle John are proclaiming Jesus is Messiah and that he is resurrected from the dead. And they arrested them. I just want to tell you plainly, the scripture promises, 2 Peter chapter 3 is a great example of this. Make no mistake about it. Following Christ includes the reality of persecution. It's not an if, it's a when and a what manner of what means. Well, thankfully, we're not at the place where some of our brethren are around the world, our Nigerian brethren, our Sudanese brethren, our Chinese brethren, our Iranian brethren, our Turkish brethren, our Indian brethren, and all of those nations. Persecution is overt, hostile, physical in many instances. It seems pretty clearly we're headed in that direction in our country. Right now, much of it is you know, shadow banning, social media stuff. But make no mistake about it, these things are precursors to the intensification of it. Believers in our nation have to get out of this idea where we try to curate for ourselves persecution-less lives. I don't say this to you as some form of spiritual masochist. I'm not like, yeah. I'm not like, you know, the Macho Man Randy says, oh, brother, bring it on. Not in the least bit. Not in the least bit. I'm not sitting up here pounding my chest, you know, like Terry Crews making my pecs jump, talking about, when it comes, this is how I'm going to respond, brother. Not in the least bit. My prayer often is, Lord, give me the strength to endure what comes my way. Lord, I ask you to give me the grace and strengthen me to be faithful today. Today. Help me, Lord, to have courage today. The best indication of what you will do when future occurrences transpire is what you're doing now. Lord, help me to be faithful today and strengthen me for the days ahead. You know the days ahead. I don't. Strengthen me for them. But the fact is, they are coming, brothers and sisters. They are coming. One of the major problems we have is that many believers are looking to the government to do things that Jesus instructed the church to do. You know, one of the major features of being a believer is that he gives his people discernment. If we had a populace in America that had been fortified and discipled, it wouldn't be so easy to lie and deceive people. You know, we talk about the deception that's abundant and the lies. We're going to get into some of the stuff today. Think lies told on the big stages, lies told in ads, lies told through media and what is reported and what is not reported. If we had a populace that were indwelled by the Spirit of God who grants us discernment as we are transformed, the lies wouldn't work. But you want to know why the lies work? Because we have a people that have been dulled by our context. You know, we talk about the dumbing down of America, which has happened and is happening, no doubt about it. But if we have a people that refuse to be conformed to the world but are transformed by the renewing of our minds, guess what? The dumbing down wouldn't be effective. And the only way forward is through confession and repentance. The scripture then goes on to say, in the face of this arrest, in verse 3 of chapter 4, in the face of this arrest, but many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. And I want you to think about this. We're just in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Take a few steps back. In Acts chapter 1, we have 12. You get to chapter 2, that 12 becomes 120. You get to chapters 3 and 4, that 120 becomes 5,000. You continue on, that 120 becomes more than 20,000. And it continues to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow to the place where now where we stand, the largest visible faith in the world still to this day is Christianity. Now, there are rivals, absolutely. There are others attempting to thwart that, absolutely. But what I want you to see is what Jesus said is true. The gates of hell will not prevail against the Lord's church, but will the church be willing to stand? Brothers and sisters, the answers that we need are not some new answer. It is not some Superman coming in the sky with a red cape and tights on. The answer, God has already instructed us in his word. But will we be about our Father's business? The Lord has showed us in his word, duty is ours, but results are his. The Lord is a major at using crooked sticks to paint straight lines. We have examples all throughout scripture. You know, three lepers decided, you know, if we stay here, we die. If we go over there, we die. Well, at least if we're going to die, let's at least die on our feet. They get to walking. And what do you know? The Lord amplifies their footsteps to where the army of trained, skilled warriors flees out of fear and trepidation. The God of the scripture in the Hebrew Bible is the God that we serve now today. And if we as a people of God will obey the instructions that he has given us in his word, there is no telling, no predetermined outcome that we can assume that will transpire. What is foremost required of a servant? That he be found faithful. What will you do with the time that God has given you and the place that he's planted you in the age that we're living in now?
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Second assassination attempt. I have questions. So what we know, you know, and that I'm not going to say this attempted murderer's name, because I just don't want to give him any publicity. I know it's different from normally when people carry out their murders, but I, you know, excuse me if I don't take too kindly of people trying to assassinate President Trump or assassinate any president of the United States, you know? So what do we know? We know this guy, from what we learned so far, he apparently lives in Hawaii, but somehow made his way to Florida, all right? President Trump's round of golf in Florida was not on any public schedule. Yet he somehow not only knows President Trump is going to be golfing, but he knows enough to make his way onto a private golf course, maneuver through whatever bushes may be present with two backpacks. He knows enough to set up a GoPro camera and have his AK-47 ready to fire. He's known for recruiting people to fight for Ukraine and somehow was able to survive a shootout with Secret Service agents. Is everybody tracking with me? Somebody make that make sense for me. I know if I try to get President Trump's non-public schedule or private schedule, I probably couldn't get it. And somebody say, well, you know, he probably was just a random, you know, maybe he just randomly showed up and waited to see if. What? That doesn't make sense to me. So according to what we know now, that President Trump was golfing and he had a Secret Service detail that were ahead of him by a hole or two. And one of the agents saw a rifle peeking through the barrel of the rifle peeking through and engaged the suspect by discharging rounds. That is what we know. I'm looking for on the rundown. I believe we have a clip. Yeah, here it is. I want you to listen to and watch this clip. It's clip number four. Are we ready? Clip number four, go.
The suspect taken into custody on Sunday appeared before a federal judge on Monday morning in West Palm Beach. 58-year-old Ryan Ruth, who was known to law enforcement in North Carolina, is now charged with two counts, including possession of a firearm while a former felon. Ruth's political views are expected to be a part of this investigation. At one point, he was a Trump supporter, then detractor. He's also a staunch Ukraine supporter and attempted to both fight for and recruit fighters in that war effort. He came within 400 400 meters of Trump on Sunday and had possibly been in place for some time.
Possibly. Had possibly been in place for some time. Well, sure, Sherlock, did he just show up while the Secret Service was walking around there? Guys, this really bothers me. And you know what also bothers me? It seems that our American Pravda is just conveniently disinterested. Because within 2 months of President Trump literally taking a bullet to the ear and have a presidential debate when there's not one question about it. Not one. And then you have people like the bless your heart folks at MSNBC who are saying, oh, well, we don't know. Is it an assassination attempt? But maybe Trump needs to turn down the rhetoric. Like, he's the one who had blood coming from his ear, okay? He's the one. And guys, everything I told you about this would-be assassin, those are all facts. That is not, you can find all of that factual information yourself. Dude supposedly was living in Hawaii. Dude was trying to recruit people to fight for Ukraine and wanted to go to Ukraine. Somehow he knows. Like, how does he know that President Trump is golfing? How does he know that? How does he know to set up with backpacks, an AK-47, and a GoPro camera? What's the camera for? This is extremely troublesome. And again, people wonder how these things happen. How do nations end up in the throes of becoming, you know, a communist nation? How do you become a Venezuela? How do you become a China? People forget China has not always been communist, guys. China became a communist nation in the mid to late 1950s, approaching 1960. Do you realize that? That's not that long ago. It's not that long ago. This would-be assassin appeared in court today. You can find this story on AmericanFamilyNews.net, AFN.net. His formal charges are possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and possession of a firearm with an obliterated serial number. Guys, it's sickening. It's sickening to see what's happening. It's sickening. More information. I share with you on this program, following the debate, I found it curious that all of the fact-checking was in one direction. I'm going to show you now, in the run-up to it, that it was a part of a plan. And many of you are listening like, duh, Abe, clearly it was a plan. And I understand it, but I try my best, especially on this program, to make sure I can confirm with sources the information that I share with you. The stuff that is being done is not in some secret. It's broad, bold-faced lies. Broad, bold-faced lies. So in a surprising turn of events, I mean, I honestly was surprised to see this myself. Martha Raddatz, an anchor with ABC News, was able to interview a surrogate for the Harris campaign. This woman's name, she's the governor of Massachusetts. I think I have it here on the rundown. Yes, Maura Healey, who, by the way, in Massachusetts, they're trying to find $1 billion that was allocated for illegal aliens in Massachusetts, and the state doesn't know where it's gone. The billion has been spent, but they don't know where it's gone, and the governor is asking for more money. Now, that's at the state level. And the same governor is now serving as a surrogate for Kamala Harris. And Martha Raddatz just asked her straight out. During the debate, Kamala Harris opened her yap to say that we don't have any American soldiers in harm's way for war anywhere in the world. And Martha Raddatz was like, I know a little bit about this. That's not even a half lie. That's a whole lie. Flat out. Listen to and watch Martha Raddatz question Kamala Harris surrogate Governor Maura Healey. It's clip number one. Go.
Governor, excuse me, but she said there is not one member of the United States military who is an active duty. I want to ask you about her comments about the military. She said during the debate this about the U.S. military. Let's listen.
As of today, there is not one member of the United States military who is in active duty in a combat zone in any war zone around the world, the first time this century.
Our fact checkers found that to be false, and I have a lot of experience in that area as well. There are currently 900 U.S. military personnel in Syria, 2,500 U.S. troops in Iraq. All have been under regular threat from drones and missiles for months. We also have action in the Red Sea. We also, every single day, the Navy SEALs, Delta Forces, special operators can be part of any sort of deadly raid. So why would she make that claim?
Well, I think what's important here, Martha, is that Kamala Harris, in contrast to Donald Trump, demonstrated herself to be commander-in-chief. We are in a world where there are all sorts of conflicts, and it's all the more reason we need somebody who's serious and who supports the military.
So you're not going to answer the question, and then you're going to tell Martha Raddatz and the rest of the American people, well, what's important here? And look at the audacity. And this is what I want you to notice. The audacity. Martha Raddatz asked her a direct question. She said there are no soldiers in a war zone anywhere in the world. Martha Raddatz says, and she said it like this, our fact checkers found that to be false. Yeah, you don't think? Many of you probably saw a video online where their soldiers actually hunkered down in bunkers around the country that played a video of themselves saying, well, what are we doing here? Martha Raddatz says, that's false, ma'am. Gives her the factual information. And then the Massachusetts governor has the audacity to say that Kamala Harris demonstrated that she can be that she is commander in chief. Now, I'm just going to ask a very simple question. Commander-in-chief of what, you say? Bobby, you can help me. What is the commander-in-chief referring to? Commander-in-chief of what? Oh, that's right. The U.S. military. The armed services. How can you demonstrate yourself to be commander-in-chief if either, option A, you don't know that we have soldiers in war zones across the country, or B, across the world, I'm sorry, that we have soldiers in war zones around the world. Or B, you know we do, but you're going to flat out lie to the American people about it. Which one? And here's the real rub, guys. And this is, again, the audacity. The very person who is in office now is the one telling America we need to turn the page. From what page to what page? You are in office now, ma'am. If you are the vice president of the United States, you are literally within a heartbeat of being president currently. You know you are a part of these military briefings. So what does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if A, cackling Kamala, doesn't know where our soldiers are in the world, or B, she'll lie to the American people about it? What does that say about her? And then they want to tell you, yes, and by that performance, she's demonstrating that she is commander-in-chief. These people despise the American people. They do. And you have Martha Raddatz offering this correction, who works at ABC. Can you tell me why Martha Raddatz is doing this and not David Muir and not Lindsay Davis? And also, somebody tell me how many people watched Martha Raddatz on TV yesterday versus how many people watched the debate. Guys, this is sickening. This is sickening. This is not the product of just a coincidence and a little bit of misunderstanding and negligence here. Guys, I am sorry, but this is intentional. This is intentional. This is intentional. She goes on with this screed. Because Martha Raddatz is like, what do you mean? What do you mean that's not important? She would have none of Maura Healey's deflection. And she continues on. Clip number two. Clip two, go.
Governor, excuse me, but she said there is not one member of the United States military who is in active duty in a combat zone. That is not true. You say she demonstrated her ability to be commander in chief, but did she not know about these people in Syria and Iraq? Why would she say that?
Look, that was a comment. That was a comment in a debate. I think the point that she was trying to make was a broader point. And of course, we have military in place all around this country.
Oh, so comments and debates don't matter now. So why are we doing them? That was a comment in a debate. That was a comment in a debate, you see. So, I mean, comments, schmaments. I mean, Bernie Sanders already told us. I mean, she's just doing whatever she do to get elected. Or is it, ladies and gentlemen, what I've said already about the Weekend at Bernie's president and his comrade, Cackling Kamala, that they know as well as we know that they're not running the country. They are figureheads and frontmen for the shadow government. I asked the same question I've been asking, and I'm going to keep asking it. If Joseph Robinette Biden is not competent to run for the presidency, how can he be the sitting president? How can he be the sitting president? If Cackling Kamala Harris doesn't know where our soldiers are in the world, doesn't know, or will lie about it, who's really running the government? And again, they ain't running the government now. What do you think they're going to do? Guys, it's sickening to me. It's sickening. And they're doing this in broad daylight. And they know what they're doing. They know that exponentially more people watch the debate than who watch the Sunday shows. They know that America, by and large, worships at the idol of NFL football on Sundays. And millions and millions and millions of Americans did not see what Martha Raddatz said. That's really why I'm sharing it with you today. But it's sickening to me that the same network, and it says it's a news network, ABC News should have David Muir and Lindsay Davis apologize to the nation, but they're never going to do that. So they'll just try to save face and say, see, we corrected it on our network. Well, yeah, you had an audience of approaching 100 million watching the debate, but you have an audience of like maybe what? 1.5 million that'll see Martha Raddatz on Sunday?
You can't sit this election out. I know a lot of Christians do. This is true that God is sovereign. I tell you that all the time. But they fancy that somehow that is separate from their personal responsibility. We are His hands and feet. And so that's why we have to do what's right. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and just doesn't do it, to him it is sin.
Sandy Rios 24/7 with your host, Sandy Rios. Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida has announced that he doesn't think it's really a good idea to have the same FBI, the agency that raided Mar-a-Lago, busted for using pre-created props to make it look like documents were in certain places when they weren't there. He doesn't necessarily trust them to investigate the second assassination attempt. So the state of Florida will be conducting its own independent investigation. I think it's a good idea. Because, again, I still think it's important to know how did this guy know? How did he know President Trump was going to be golfing? How did he make it onto the private property? How did he have the wherewithal to set up the rifle and the GoPro camera? How does he survive a shootout with Secret Service agents? It's sad that we're here, guys, but we are here. We are here. This is where we are. So Governor Ron DeSantis is saying the state of Florida is going to conduct its own investigation, independent of what the FBI does. It'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. You know, this on top of what we've already discussed on the program, another would-be assassin who makes it to a rooftop 130 yards away from the president. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. Not only did Martha Raddatz confront Maura Healey over the military, again, shocked me. Martha Raddatz confronted her over abortion. Abe's translation, and I'm going to play the clip so you can hear for yourself, but Martha Raddatz saying, y'all up there kicking it like what Mr. Trump is saying is wrong. There are 9 states and the District of Columbia that allows unborn babies to be premeditatedly murdered for the entire 40 weeks of gestation without any restrictions. 9 states and the District of Columbia. You think David Muir and Lindsay Davis fact-checked that? Nope. Watch and listen to clip number 3. Go.
Governor, I want to stick to Kamala Harris here. On abortion, Vice President Harris did not make clear whether she supports any restrictions on abortion. Currently, 9 states and the District of Columbia have no gestational ban on abortions. Your state of Massachusetts has a ban on abortion after 24 weeks. Your state drew a line. Should she let people know where she stands and draw some sort of line?
She already did, Martha. What she said is, let's go back to Roe, which, by the way, contrary to what Donald Trump says, nobody was asking to be overturned except for some segment.
Nobody was asking to be overturned except for some segment. What segment do you mean, ma'am? You mean like the pro-life segment of the country that represents 80 to 90 to 100 million people in the country? Now, again, Martha Raddatz can find this. This is not information that's hard to find, guys. This is not. 9 states and the District of Columbia. No gestational restrictions. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. Continuing with the reality that none of this is accidental, all of this is intentional. Regressives the world over are attempting to make heroes out of David Muir and Lindsay Davis. And coincidentally, wink, wink, Lindsay Davis sat for an interview with the LA Times after the debate. And the LA Times has this glowing piece, a personal profile of Lindsay Davis. And they are they are glowingly groveling before Lindsay Davis. And because they cannot help it, they say the quiet parts out loud in the middle of this piece. And I'll read directly to you from the piece. This is Lindsay Davis. This is the title of the article. Lindsay Davis held Trump's feet to the fire. How she became ABC News' rising star. That's the title of the LA Times article, right? Reading directly from the piece. Quote, Davis, wearing pink glasses while speaking to the Times over breakfast at the Ritz-Carlton in Philadelphia, said the decision to attempt to correct the candidates was in response to the June 27th CNN debate between Trump and President Biden, whose poor performance led to his exit from the race. Now they're going to quote Lindsay Davis directly. Quote, people were concerned that statements were allowed to just hang and not be disputed by the candidate Biden at the time or the moderators, end quote. What did she just tell you? The decision for the moderators to fact check was made in response to the June 27th debate. Now, let me ask you a question. Who from June 27th was participating in the ABC News debate? Oh, that's right. There's only one person who participated in June 27th and participated in the ABC News debate. And Lindsay Davis says, well, the intention was to fact check everybody, both candidates, but for somehow we couldn't make it around to fact check Kamala Harris. So all their fact-checking is in one direction, and their performance was in an effort to try to prevent a repeat of the June 27 debate. Guys, you cannot make this stuff up. Cannot make this stuff up. intentionally planned to do this. So when you see all the fact-checking against President Trump, and listen, y'all know I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. If there's a fact that President Trump is saying, and I mean, if he's saying something that's wrong, correct it. But be fair. But the last I checked, moderators are not supposed to be fact-checkers in real time. Last I checked. It's the responsibility of the co- and I'm saying this rhetorically for all everybody outside, the co-belligerents, the combatants, to address what's being presented. Not the moderators. It's not the moderators' job to determine whether or not they're going to allow certain statements to just hang and not be disputed. If the candidate doesn't respond, that's the candidate's job. And they never, I'm telling you, it's part of the plan. It was intentional. It was intentional. It was intentional. I mean, we're all running out of time. It's interesting to me. Now I'm a toggle over to CNN now, because they, I don't think they're going to keep doing this. They keep asking J.D. Vance to come on their network. And every time they do, I think they regret it. Dana Bash, for some reason, invited J.D. Vance on, and she wanted to try to needle J.D. Vance over the cats and dogs being consumed in Ohio. Ooh, and J.D. had something for her. You definitely want to see this. Listen to and watch clip number 5. Go.
And then going just back to the schools and the hospitals and the and so forth being overwhelmed, nobody is disputing that the town of Springfield, Ohio, needs help. But you're not just a bystander. You're the senator from Ohio. So instead of saying things that are wrong and actually causing the hospitals, the schools, the government buildings to be evacuated because of bomb threats, because of the cats and dogs thing, why not actually be constructive in helping to better integrate them into the community? Because there are a lot of employers there who say that the Haitian workers are helping fill jobs that they need desperately filled.
Dana, first of all, let me just respond to a couple of things that you said, but I want to start with something you said, which I think is frankly disgusting and is more appropriate for a Democratic propagandist than it is for an American journalist. There is nothing that I have said that has led to threats against these hospitals. These hospitals, the bomb threats and so forth, it's disgusting. The violence is disgusting. We condemn it. We condemn all violence.
Senator, this happened after you and President Trump were on the debate stage saying cats and dogs were being eaten. You asked a question, Dana,
and I'm going to go ahead and answer it. What we have said is that this town has suffered terribly under the policies of Kamala Harris. Now, you just accused me of inciting violence against the community when all that I've done is surface the complaints of my constituents, people who are suffering because of Kamala Harris's policies. Are we not allowed to talk about these problems because some psychopaths are threatening violence? We can condemn the violence on the one hand, but also talk about the terrible consequences of Kamala Harris's open border on the other hand.
This is the work of a Democrat propagandist. He's right. He's absolutely right. And she's trying to say that him, and he said that what I am doing is surfacing or elevating the concerns of my own constituents. Unless you've forgotten, I am a current U.S. senator with the responsibility to represent the concerns of Ohioans, which includes Springfield in Clark County. Y'all are just mad because y'all don't want this stuff exposed. But you are talking to me and spouting out propaganda. And here's the thing that's so interesting. She's talking about the calls made to the hospitals in the area and the threats being made. Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio came out today saying that they've discovered that the calls making the threats to the hospitals are originating overseas. Can't make this stuff up. Can't I make this stuff up? He called Dana Bash to her face on national television a Democrat propagandist. And he continued. You thought he eased up? No, sir. He goes in even the more. I noticed, Dana, when you had Kamala Harris and her emotional support governor on, you asked them questions and gave them multiple choice answers. You need to make a decision if you want to debate me or you want to ask me questions. And if you're going to ask me a question, you need to be polite enough to let me respond. Listen to and watch clip number 6. Go.
Now, let me just fact check a couple of other things that you said, Dana, because it's important. You said that all of these migrants are in the country legally. They are in the country through what's called temporary protective status.
Right.
That is when Kamala Harris waved a magic amnesty wand, taking people and giving them legal status. That is not to say that they're here legally. That is a terrible indictment of her amnesty policies that have further opened the border
not,
and further
but it's
caused
not illegal.
Terrible
you might,
migration
you
into
might
this
be,
country.
You might not agree with the policy, and obviously you don't, which is totally fair and legitimate. There are policy disagreements all the time. But the fact is that it is the law because President
Dana,
Biden
the point
and
is,
Vice
Dana,
President Harris are. But I don't want to, frankly, go down this conversation about policy
because you made a point. You don't. I agree. You don't want to talk about policy.
No,
Dana,
what I want to talk
about.
What I want to talk about
instead of about the fact,
Senator,
that
it was
Harris,
your distraction.
Dana, granted amnesty.
You were the one who started
level.
Talking
she
about eating dogs
at a
and
mass
cats.
Level.
You were the one who
Dana,
brought this
my
up.
Constituents
the president
were the
said
ones
it to
who talked
60
about
million
eating dog
people.
And cats, and I talked about it because you were ignoring this community. My constituents talked about
Have
it.
Have you
and
been
it
to Springfield?
My responsibility to surface their concerns when the American media
Have you been
ignores
to Springfield?
It. Dana, I've been to Springfield probably 100 times in my life.
How about
I've
recently,
taken my children
since
to get
you've heard
ice
this?
Cream at Young's Jersey Dairy.
Have you heard recently since
have
you've gotten
the last,
these calls?
Have I been in the last 4 days?
No, I'm talking
I haven't
about
been in the last 4 days, but I've
since
talked
you've
to
gotten
a lot of
these
people
calls
in Springfield,
from the
Dana, and they're telling me this stuff is happening. Dana, would you like to ask me questions and then let me answer them, or would you like to debate me on these topics? I noticed that when you had Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, you gave them multiple choice answers to the questions that you asked, and you allowed them to answer the questions. I'm happy to be here to talk about policy, but if you're going to interrupt me every single time that I open my mouth, then why am I even doing this? So please, ask a question, and I'd ask you to be polite enough to
yes.
let me answer it.
Trent, you going to learn today. You going to learn today. T-U-H-D-A-Y. You're going to learn today. If you're going to ask me a question, you need to be polite, ma'am. Mind your manners. Didn't your mama teach you some manners? Oh, J.D., they ain't inviting you back on, bro. They ain't calling J.D. no more. Not no more. No more. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And then he hit her with the, yeah, I know you don't want to talk about policy. I bet you don't. These people want to try to say, oh, these folks are here legally. How did they get here legally? What is temporary protected status? This is nothing more than a wave of the magic wand of amnesty after you have foisted 20,000 people from another country onto a small town of 50 to 60,000 people and expect them to absorb them and to say employers are enjoying their presence for the job. Why aren't there people in Ohio in Springfield to work those jobs? Huh? Oh, man, they don't want it. They don't want it. All of this is why I'm saying what's happening is intentional. Which is why I want to invite everybody who listens to this program to pray for our country. We are at a defining moment in our nation's history. A defining moment.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.